I want to look at the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll do some reading. If the Lord permit, we'll try to explain a few verses of Scripture. The 10th chapter of the book of Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. We begin this chapter being introduced to a Gentile man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a man of some authority, some position. The Bible tells us that he was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a Roman soldier who had men under his authority. That's very impressive. The next verse is something much, much more impressive. A devout man. One that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God alway. I'd much rather have that description about myself than something that would be impressive to the world. This verse tells me that this man is a child of God. He's a born-again child of God. He is devout. He is righteous and holy in his behavior. If he is righteous and holy in his behavior, it's because God has given him a righteous and holy nature. Because natural man is not righteous and holy in his behavior. Behavior comes forth from the nature that lies within you. A little description about this man. He's a giver of alms, and he prays. The third verse says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Do you ever wonder sometime if the Lord's listening? Is God watching what we do? Sometimes we seem to go through our entire life wondering about our relationship with the Lord. If you're wondering about it, then you're probably not as close to the Lord as you ought to be. Because I don't think the Lord keeps that a secret from us. He blesses us in our righteous behavior, in our prayer, in our almsgiving, in our devout attitude with fellowship with Him. The Lord walks with us. He leads us. And it seems most of the time He carries us through the difficulties of life. This is a great memorial unto the life that Cornelius has lived, that God would send an angel to him or a vision to him of something that's going to come to pass. And now, this is the commandment to Cornelius, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one, Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when they had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Interesting point that I notice here. A devout man of authority had devout men under him. Maybe Cornelius set a good example and his men followed. Maybe Cornelius just didn't want to associate himself with men under him who were not devout. be not unequally yoked together. Now we find Peter is brought into the story. Before Peter ever gets to Cornelius' house, the Lord has worked on Cornelius. Cornelius has never heard the gospel preached. It is not necessary to hear the gospel to be a born-again child of God. The gospel does not play a role in the rebirth that occurs in a man's heart. That's the work of the Lord and the Lord alone. The Lord has worked on Cornelius way over here, an unclean Gentile, and prepared him to receive the gospel that when it comes, he'll be able to understand it. If he's dead, he won't understand it. It would be a waste of time for Peter to go down and preach to Cornelius' house while they're in a state of death and trespasses and sin. It won't mean a thing to them. But we find that Cornelius is prepared by the Lord. And I believe also his house has been prepared. Here's one of his soldiers, a devout man, has a righteous nature and a righteous character about him. A trustworthy man, and this is one of the men that Cornelius chooses to send down to Joppa to fetch Simon back. When they had declared all these things unto them, they sent them to Joppa. Now let's look at Peter for a few minutes. Who is Peter? Peter is a Jew, for one thing. He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, called by Jesus from the walks of life, called into the ministry, called to be an apostle, given a gift of apostleship. You know, the Lord calls ministers. Men do not take that honor unto themselves. They don't take that burden unto themselves. Some have tried, and some will continue to try. But if you're not given a gift to preach, you can't preach. You can speech. And I've heard some good speeches, but preaching is a gift of God. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Peter was a fisherman, a common man. He didn't have great worldly position. He simply fished for a living. Very important that when the Lord called, Peter lay down his fishing net. The Bible says he left his boat and his father behind, and he went and followed the Lord. Remember, Peter's a Jew. The Jews were, in the Old Testament, the called out people of God. God separated Abram, called him out of his homeland, sent him toward a land he didn't even know where he was going, led him along the way, and entered into a covenant with Abraham, that out of him would come a great nation. He provided a land for Abraham, his nation, and in him all the children would be blessed through his seed. There would be a great blessing. We have in the Old Testament the covenant people of God under the law. God gave a law to these people, a civil law and a Levitical law, a law of service unto God. He handed that law down through Moses. Moses presented that law to the people, and they became the special chosen people of God. You're either Jew or Gentile. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. Very important within that law, there were particular teachings about clean and unclean. Go back over in the Old Testament, look at the law of clean and unclean. I can guarantee you, if we were under that law this evening, probably everybody in here would be unclean. There are a lot of things in the Old Testament that made you unclean under the law. If you ate an unclean animal, if you touched a dead person, you know, even to touch the grave of a man slain in battle by a sword made you unclean. And then if you went and touched somebody else, they were unclean. Until you bathed in water and the even time came, on certain occasions you might be unclean for 2 weeks. If you had given birth to a female child, you'd be unclean for 2 weeks. If you touched a dead body, you were unclean for 2 weeks. Most things made you unclean for just till the even came and you had bathed. But under the law, we're probably all unclean. Peter was not a Gentile, he was a Jew. He was one of the chosen people of God. Yet now the gospel dispensation has come. I think when we look at this story quite often, we look at Cornelius and how the Lord worked on Cornelius, but you know the Lord worked on Peter. Peter's about to be faced with a challenge that he's never been faced with. Sometimes ministers are faced with a challenge, but I don't want to focus on them. I want to talk about you. Sometimes you're faced with a challenge that you've never been faced with before. A challenge of discipleship in the face of things that are telling you to do something else. The law or the religious worship of the Jews was more than just a religious worship. It was their culture. It was who they were. They were brought up under the law. They were raised under the teachings of clean and unclean, and of service to God, of sacrifice. I suspect if we were under the law today, we'd spend more than half our time making sacrifice unto the Lord. It was a busy activity for the Jews. The daily sacrifices and then the special offerings for different occasions. This is what Peter was raised under. But he knows the gospel dispensation has come. He knows the Lord has fulfilled the law. Remember, the Lord said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill." So the law is not just taken away as though it never was. It's ended. It's ended appropriately by the work of God. So it's fulfilled. They're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law. Well, we never were. We're Gentiles. But as spiritual Jews, we're not under that old law. We're under a new law. Sometimes we forget we're still under a law. There's never been a time when people were not under one law or another. You're either in bondage unto sin or you're in bondage unto Christ. Now, something happens to Simon Peter. He's about to have a vision himself, an experience with the Lord. The ninth verse says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." Peter's waiting on the noon meal to be prepared. He's gone up to pray, to meditate, to spend some time by himself. The Bible says he was hungry. I think that's important. You know, hunger motivates us to do some things sometimes we wouldn't do otherwise. Natural fleshly desires motivate us sometimes to do things we wouldn't otherwise do. But he's up here upon the roof. He's fallen into a trance. And the Bible says that he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. What's in this sheet? Unclean things. All manner of beasts. Go back over under the law and look at what animals were unclean. There's a defined list. Anywhere from the animals in the field to the creeping things upon the earth, to the fowl in the air, to the fish in the sea. A definite, defined list of what the Lord gave is clean and unclean. Here within this sheet let down is all manner of four-footed beasts. Four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There's a little bit of everything. Now we have a commandment of the Lord. Let me say this. If the Lord says do it, it's okay to do it. Now, the Lord's told His people in times past to do a lot of things that were strange. Told one of the Old Testament prophets one time to take a wife of whoredoms. Boy, don't you know that took some faith and trust in the Lord. There came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, Peter's not under the law, but remember, this was Peter's culture. This is what Peter grew up in. He sat down at meals at his mother's table, and he never ate these things. He was taught to be a good boy under the law and obey the commandments of God. The Lord says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, I don't know whether that's exactly true or not. Sometimes we claim to be a little more righteous than we are. But he's telling the Lord he hasn't. Let's look at the Lord's answer. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." The Lord has cleansed a people that were common and unclean. But now they are righteous and particular. Peter is about to be faced with the greatest challenge that he's ever been faced in service unto God up to this point. He's about to have some unclean Gentiles knock on his door, or Simon Tanner's door, and they're about to tell him that the Lord has come to our master Cornelius in a vision, and he's bid us to come and invite you down to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel unto us. Peter's going to have to make a decision. What do I do? I think this is the Lord preparing Peter for this trip down to Cornelius' house. If I stand before you to preach the gospel and I don't have humility and grace and the right spirit, I'm not going to do a good job of it. I pray that God would prepare my heart and my mind and my spirit on every occasion that I try to stand before the Lord's people. Because if you get it, it's because the Lord gave it to you. I can preach the words to you, but I cannot open your heart or even your mind and put the understanding on the inside. The Lord does that. He prepares us to sit before the gospel or stand before the gospel preacher and listen to the things that are given from heaven. The Bible says this was done thrice and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself that what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You know, sometimes I pray that it's that clear. Sometimes we struggle with decisions or choices. I guess I'm like every man. I've prayed for signs, but then I remember the Lord condemned the praying for signs. There shall be no sign given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. If we had a sign for everything, we wouldn't need faith, would we? Paul said we live by faith. But the Lord very clearly told Peter, through the Spirit here go with them doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Peter went. You know, sometimes the Lord very clearly tells us and we still don't want to go. The Lord very clearly told Jonah what to do, and Jonah said, I'm going in the other direction. And the Lord worked on him for a while, and then Jonah said, yea, Lord. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? You can read for yourself the next few verses. The story is retold of Cornelius being a just man and how God had sent the holy angel to him to hear the words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. Now let's look at Cornelius for a few minutes. We're going to get into his part of this story. The Lord's worked on Peter. Peter's been obedient to the commandment of God. Peter's about to go down to Cornelius' house, preach the gospel to them, and some wonderful things are going to happen. On the morrow, after they entered into Cornelius' house, Cornelius waited for them, and it called together his kinsmen and near friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. Well, you know, Cornelius still had some nature of man in him. The rebirth does not take away the nature of man within us. It simply gives us a new nature, a better nature, a righteous nature. And then the struggle begins for that man or woman who is a new creature in Christ Jesus to follow the things of the new nature and deny the things of the old nature. I would to God sometimes that old nature just were taken away. But I'm thankful that the new nature is stronger. The new nature has preeminence. It's of the Lord. It's an amazing thing to me, little child of God, that within you dwells part of God Himself. The Spirit of God dwells within you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But sometimes we'll lean a little bit in the other direction and we'll say, woe is me. You have a nature this evening that is the image of Jesus Christ. One day you'll have a body in the image of Jesus Christ. I personally don't think that means you're going to look exactly like He did when He was here on this earth. I think you'll be resurrecting your body. It's just going to be a body without sin. That image of Jesus Christ is one of righteousness and holiness and immortality. What did Peter say to Cornelius? Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. He talked with him and went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know that how that it is unlawful thing for a man which is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter is reminding Cornelius about the law. But more importantly, he's reminding him about what the Lord said. Sometimes we focus on the things of man, and it's good to be reminded about what the Lord said. I never tire of hearing about what God has done for me, because I need to hear it over and over again. Sometimes we forget what the gospel teaches us. We forget what the message of God is. We forget what the Lord has sacrificed for us. And we need to hear that message over and over and over again. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Why have you called me? Cornelius said. Cornelius repeats the story again about what happened. It's been about 4 days ago now. About his praying, the Lord coming unto him, commanding him to send to Joppa for one called Simon. the 33rd verse, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. You cannot dictate the gospel message. You can't tell the Lord what to send. The Lord will send what is needed, what He wants, what He knows His people need to hear. He'll send the gospel message. And you know, sometimes the gospel message is comforting, and sometimes it kicks us in the rear end. Sometimes we need to be lifted up. And the Lord knows those occasions. I don't know what your heart is this evening. I don't know whether you're shouting on the inside or whether you've had a bad day. I don't know whether you've had exceeding blessings over the past few weeks or months, or I don't know whether you've been faced with extreme challenges. How many times I've heard people say, you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I've been thinking about that. How'd you know? Well, I didn't. The Lord knows. These people say, Peter, we want to hear whatever the Lord's placed upon you to preach to us. Go back over in the prophets and you'll find on many occasions the language used there, the burden of the word of the Lord. The Lord will burden the minister to preach on what he knows the people need to hear. And if it's to lift them up out of their state of being cast down, that's a wonderful sermon. But you know what? It's equally as wonderful when the gospel message puts us in our place. You know what a guilty conscience is? It's the Lord working on us. I don't think personally the wicked have a conscience. They don't worry about what they've done because, first of all, they don't see themselves as sinners. If you see yourself as a sinner this evening, then the Lord's already worked on you. How many times have people, maybe you've heard people say, or the ministers here have had people come to them, so I'm worried I'm not a child of God. I just feel so wretched and undone. I worry over my sins. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're worried over your sins, the Lord's already touched your heart and given you a heart of life. Because the wicked aren't worried about their sins. They don't see themselves as being evil or wicked or sinners. It's a little child of God on his knees at night praying the Lord have mercy on him. It's that little child of God that worries about what he's done. That's strong evidence to me. If you're praying to the Lord, that's a good sign. You belong to the Lord because the wicked aren't interested in even talking to the Lord. Where were we? Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. Thou hast done well that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Who were the chosen people of God? Well, the Jews were. The Lord separated them, singled them out, and blessed them with blessings far beyond any other nation upon the earth. He's a God of choice, always has been. Who are the chosen people of God now? Every elect heir of grace that God picked before the foundation of time. Jew and Gentile, of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he gave that number to his son to die for. And Jesus died for every one of them. And at some point between conception and death, the Holy Ghost will touch the heart of every one of them. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he'll take that number, not plus one and not minus one, and he'll set them on the right hand. And he'll take them to heaven to be with his Father forevermore. Those are the chosen people of God. Did you decide to be in that number on your own one day? No. The Lord touched your heart along the way one day and made you want to act like that number. made you want to associate with the people of that number and made you want to walk different than you'd been walking. But the Lord placed you in that number, and you won't leave that number. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Lord doesn't care this evening that your ancestor was descended out of Abraham or out of a Gentile nation. Doesn't matter this evening who your parents were. Matters whether or not who your heavenly Father is. I remember on one occasion the Lord speaking to a group of Jews about whether they could understand His word or not. He said, "You're not of my father, you're of your father, the devil." So I know the devil has some, and I'm not interested in them. But I do know that if your father is God, then you are a particular special person. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. He's Lord of the Gentiles just as He's Lord of the Jews. Who are the Jews? The Jews are those who are born in the image of Jesus Christ, not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're the Jews this evening. You're the children of Abraham, called by God into that special covenant of grace that is given by God. The word I say you know, which was published throughout old Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. What's Peter telling them about? He's preaching the gospel to them. There's nothing else to say. I don't want to hear anything else but the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word given by God. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Look sometime, if you get the chance, at the sermons that were preached to the Jews versus the sermons that were preached to the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't have to hear about all the law part. They were never under it. When the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, the apostle would go way on back over in the Old Testament and talk about how all that had been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't have to stand here this evening and tell you about how you were under the law and how all that's been fulfilled. You were not under the Levitical law. You were under the law of sin and death. I can start with that. He preached Jesus Christ unto them. And something happened. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we're like that. Even today, we'll look on somebody and say, "Well, you know, I just don't believe the Lord loves them as much as He does me. I must be just a little bit better off with the Lord than they are. Look at them." We are absolutely no different than that old pharisaical, law-stricken Peter was at some times. Even under the gospel dispensation, Peter's still struggling with this. They were amazed that God sent the Holy Ghost on these unclean people. But wait a minute, they're not unclean anymore. "What I have cleansed, call thou not common." They're particular, they're chosen, they're special. They're no different than you are, Brother Peter. I think Peter continues to struggle with this on through the gospel, on through the New Testament age. He and Paul get a little argument over it later on. It's hard to give up that old nature that you had. You keep wanting to go back to it. But I remember Paul says that you're guilty of one part of the law, you're an offender in all parts. When they came out of the law, they had to leave it alone. They couldn't go back and get bits and pieces of it that were more comfortable. The gospel dispensation is a complete package of service unto the Lord. We can't add to it. We can't take from it. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They were baptized. I personally think that when a child of God hears the gospel preached and they're convicted by the Holy Ghost within their heart of their sinful nature, and they see the Lord as being their Savior, they ought to run to the nearest water hole. I don't think they need to hold on to the pew for a long time to think about it. If you believe in the Lord and you have a repentant heart, then you're a candidate for baptism. Peter baptized them. Peter went on back to Jerusalem. Let me get a verse in the 11th chapter. We'll conclude. What happened was heard back at Jerusalem by the apostles and the brethren. They of the circumcision contended with him. The Bible says Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, he goes about to tell the story. They rejoiced at the telling of the story. The hardest Pharisaical, worldly-minded heart can be softened by the Lord and made to rejoice at the gospel message. This story applies to us today. The Lord must prepare the ministry. He must call the ministry. The Lord must prepare the people. They must be spiritually alive. The minister must go without doubt. He must go at the bequest of the Holy Ghost. He can't go on his own accord. And when he gets there, the people need to say, "We want to hear whatever the Lord's told you to preach to us." And if they believe it, they need to be baptized. And the church needs to rejoice in that. I appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel. When I first started trying to stand before the Lord's people, I stood for a little while, then I sat down. And then I moved away. And the Lord brought me back. And I've never been more miserable in the house of God. And I told the Lord, I said, "If you'll get me out of this mess I'm in, I'll never deny the opportunity to preach the gospel when asked." There have been occasions I couldn't, that it wasn't possible to go. And there are times that I can't, that I stand and speak and don't preach. But I hope if the Lord burdens our hearts, we would say, "Yea, Lord, thy will be done." May the Lord bless and keep you is my desire.